What's going on, everybody? Another episode of the Monster Truck Outlaws of the West podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Phil Vicinanza. Vincent Ackert is also here with me tonight. He's just booting up his camera. Hope everybody is having a great Friday the 13th. This is November 13th, 2020, when we're recording this. And they always say on Friday the 13th, you never quite know. Good luck, bad luck. It's always superstitious. But one thing's for sure, we're always going to keep rocking and rolling here with the podcast. Having another great episode. We have a lot of great episodes thus far. We have a great amount of diverse guests that have joined us over the last number of months. And tonight is going to be yet another great diverse guest. When you talk about the West Coast, there's one big team that always rocks the house in the Pacific Northwest. That's Straight Up Racing. The head honcho up there is Bill Payne with Rockstar. And he has his fleet of guys that have come and gone over the years. There's always been that one stable guy that seems that he's been there through thick and thin. He's driven quite a few trucks for Bill. He's most known for identity theft, as Vincent now joins us here.
I'm here.
Vincent, why don't we bring on our guests here tonight?
Let's do that. Dwight, welcome to the show. How are you doing tonight?
Good, guys. How are you?
Very good. Thanks for joining us here tonight.
No problem.
So I'm going to start out the podcast. You know how we start out usually. Dwight, I got to ask, you know, how did you get started in the Dwight's in the shop right now, so it's pretty busy down there.
All right, I'm going to find a different spot to do this here.
Don't worry, we're all watching live.
They just kicked the air compressor on. And I was in the lunchroom. Where are the air compressors at? Trying to find anywhere, Dallas.
Well, everyone's getting a good live look at the Straight Up Racing shop. Yeah. All right, Dwight. You're good to go. You ready, Vinny?
Yeah, I'm ready. And I got to ask, how did you get started in the monster industry? You know, Bill Payne's kind of unique, you know, from everyone who got their start with him.
So two of my buddies from my hometown actually work for Bill. Which Ezra and Nick, and Ezra used to drive identity theft. Some of you may know him, but been close to them for quite a while. And then Nick had mentioned that they needed someone else to help out around the shop and maybe drive a semi, and that's how I started.
So did you grow up a fan of monster trucks or motorsports? Or is this just a job for you?
Not really just a job, because like to me, working for Bill and Lorna, they're more of family than a boss, and they're great people. So like, I love working for them. In my opinion, monster trucks are overrated.
Can't disagree with you there in so many aspects, but when did you first get started with Bill and Lorna at Straight Up Racing?
So I started December 10th, which like this December 10th will be 3 years now.
Gotcha. Now, did you start, what was like your first tasks when you first joined the team?
My first day at the shop, I came in and they put me on a grinding project, like grinding and cutting, working on the transfer case mount of the Cradle of California Kid. And I spent all day rolling around on the floor, covered in metal dust, and it was quite miserable, but, you know, the new guys got to be broken in somehow.
So what kind of background did you have before you joined the motorsports team? Were you working in an auto shop, or was this just thrown at the wolves and hope for the best?
So really my entire life I've been around cars. My dad just so happens to be a big block Chevy guru, and pretty much everything I knew already about big blocks and everything came from my dad, and they just so happened to be the main powerhouse of a monster truck. So I fit right in with the team pretty much, like mechanically, because I've always worked on my own stuff. Worked at Les Schwab before. Always just been a mechanic.
So when you joined up with Bill and Lorna, who were some of the people on the team at the time that maybe gave you some advice or were just there working alongside of you?
Yeah, really, yes and no in a way. I mean, Nick and Ezra would help as much as they could. And my first week, I was actually on my own pretty much. Dawson was supposed to be my mentor for, you know, the time that Ezra and Nick were gone, because they were picking up a new semi-trailer at the time, and really it kind of went from there, like, just picking up on things quickly, seeing how Bill did it and versus how someone else would do it on the team, and just kind of learning what's best.
Well, Bill's such a smart mind. You know, he's been in the business forever, and he's been able to build this large fleet. And I'd have to ask, what's the biggest thing that you've learned working with Bill Payne?
Biggest thing I've learned working for him is definitely more of respecting what you have rather than just and being grateful for what you have, because it could all be gone tomorrow. And taking something small, like the first two trucks that he started with, and then turning it into the really empire that he has now, is anything's possible.
So let's talk about your first show for a minute here. What truck were you driving? Where was it? And how was your first show?
Sorry, I couldn't hear that.
What was the first show you worked with Bill at? Was it up there in Canada?
Yeah, so the first show was up in Saskatoon and Saskatchewan. That was kind of my first show to see how things went. I didn't really do much because I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know what to expect. Like, I just kind of sat back and learned and observed what everyone did during the show. And it was definitely a different perspective of being down on the floor with the trucks rather than, you know, somebody that's in the crowd. Because there's a lot more that goes on for our shows than most, but a lot of people don't see that.
No, absolutely. And, you know, when you're working in the show, you really don't know what it's like until you're actually there in the moment. And you know, that first event, there's got to be so many different things going through your mind, and you're just really there like a sponge. You're trying to absorb everything and learn as much as you can. What was the biggest thing that you learned from that first weekend in Saskatoon?
Be ready at any time to do anything. I mean, like, you can't expect anything because the way Bill drives and the way the rest of the guys drive, there's a lot of broken parts. And up Saskatoon in the first quarter, it's in the negatives. It's cold. You're unprepared for how cold it actually is. And you have to thaw parts. Literally, you have to thaw parts before you can install them or you break things. And you just never know what you're getting into until you've been there and done that.
Well, it's a lot about, you know, learning, as we're saying, learning as you go. In each event, you keep building towards more and more experience and you're learning new things, and it's all repetition. And I know from firsthand, being alongside you guys at a lot of the straight up racing events, you really do work from the ground up in the team. And I know one of those big roles is working with the ride truck. Did you start with running the ride truck? And if you did, how early on in your tenure did you start with the ride truck?
So I had worked probably most of first quarter before I had driven a ride truck. I got taught how to drive one here at the shop and then kind of went from there. And driving in arenas is quite difficult because of limited space and really just it's a lot to learn to start off with, but other people here learn in different ways because it could have been your first show, which I've seen people show up their first weekend and get put in a ride truck, or there's people that have never driven one that just work on the team. It's all really about your work ethic for Bill, and if he doesn't see that you've earned it, then you don't get to drive.
Absolutely. And if everybody listening here tonight, make sure you share this video as we're continuing on with Dwight here tonight, really getting a lot of the truth behind the scenes of Monster Trucks and really a lot of how it's supposed to happen, especially with a big team like Straight Up Racings. And, you know, at that time, there was such a fleet of trucks. There still is such a fleet of trucks. Was it always your goal to end up as a driver, or were you just there just going with the motions?
It's never been a goal to drive, never was. At the time that I had started, I was just looking for a job. Really, honestly, today I still wouldn't drive a truck if I wasn't needed to. And to me, that's just the reward of working here, is to be able to drive one of the trucks. And I think that's the biggest reason that I've had the option and the privilege to drive all of the trucks that I have driven, rather than like everybody else that comes here and begs to drive, which annoys Bill and pretty much everyone that works on the team.
We got a comment here from Mike Mentor from the Warhead Mini Monsters. Always great to see Mike in the comments. And he says, I never met Bill, but damn, he works fast seeing his posts on social media. You know, working in the shop, there's so many different projects that are always going through there. Is there a certain like time frame or, you know, time limit that Bill expects on some of these projects where you need to be working at?
There's never really a time frame. We just, Bill calls it a no patience shop, which it really is. Like, there's no patience for the slow moping around, you know, slow work ethic is just, it drives Bill nuts, and we don't get anything done when it's that way. So we always try hustling and just getting it done. And that's the same way we are when we're out on the road doing shows. Like, something breaks, failure isn't an option to Bill, and making sure that every one of our trucks is always ready to go at every time possible is the goal at the end of the night.
So I have to ask, what were the struggles you faced in the beginning, you know, trying to adapt to the monster truck life? You know, it's a hard life you guys live on the road all the time. What was the biggest challenge for you, you know, getting started out, and how did you overcome that challenge?
Really, I thought my biggest challenge would be being away from home and the life that I knew. And it was kind of a lot to take in, but as soon as I had left for my first trip, like, all of that went away. And now, like, I look back to think on it, and I'm glad that I did make that choice to go, because being away from, like, your hometown that you've been at your entire life and never really getting out and seeing things is, I think everyone should do it.
So what kind of work were you doing before you joined Straight Up Racing, if you don't mind me asking?
Previously, before working here, I'd worked at Les Schwab in my hometown, and I was one of two lead mechanics. I was a certified brake technician, just turn wrenches. That's what I know, so that's pretty much all I've done.
Right. Well, obviously that is such a plus when you're coming to work for a motorsports team, having a mechanical mindset and at least knowing what to do with a wrench, right?
Yeah. Trust me, I can't express this enough, how many people come here and think that they're just going to get put in a monster truck because Bill owns monster trucks and that don't even know the sizes of a wrench or the difference in sizes of wrenches. And I've seen more people come and go through here like that don't know what they're doing than I can count. And I can't count very high because I'm from Chimicum, so.
Right. Now, I know we're going to get into a lot of your driving experiences in a bit, but, you know, there's so many sides of the monster truck business. You know that very well because you're in the business. And, you know, you're a guy that goes out there and you're working on your trucks every weekend and finding ways to improve them and making sure they make every pass on the track. There's another coin of the business where there's drivers that they call them fly-ins. They get on the plane, they show up and drive the truck, and then they go on to the next city via the plane instead of going up and down in the rig. I guess where I'm going is, what would you say to the people that think that it's almost like being a celebrity where you get flying in, hotels, food and beverage, the whole nine yards?
My opinion on that personally is they have it too easy. They're never actually fully going to respect the aspect of a monster truck. And, you know, in my opinion, they don't see the real side of it and they don't actually put in the effort that I feel should be put in, but that's a different subject.
So talk about putting in effort. You guys at the shop have been putting in a lot of effort lately. And recently, one of the projects you guys have been working on would be the new Skull Crusher. And we've a comment here from Lee Plato, and he wants to know, how close are you guys to finishing our truck? And thank you for all the effort.
Right now, we're kind of as far as we can be for the time. It is pretty well a complete monster truck besides a body and a motor, really. We're down to just that. Like, the drive lines are in, steering rams are in. Just got a couple pieces of Lexan to cut. Really, there's not much left on that truck.
So for you got a lot of projects. We've always mentioned that. And one of them obviously being the new Skull Crusher full size. When you're putting together a truck, and I know you've put together a lot of ride trucks and there's race trucks too, what's the timetable from a bunch of tubes and parts to a race ready truck?
There's different time frames. It all depends on what we're doing. So in this instance with Lee's truck, it's taking a lot longer than just starting fresh, because the further we dug into it, the more that we found needed to be changed or updated or replaced. And that's totally okay. And that's going to take longer, obviously, because you'd never know what you're going to get into until you're all the way dug into it. And we didn't. But a new truck, like building a brand new chassis, like Bill has, that new ride truck that he's building, for everyone that knows, he's done all of that himself in this time frame. There's been no help from anyone but him. So it all varies. Like when we put together, or when we converted DOG into the Identity Theft ride truck, that was from being painted at a bare chassis, we were 2 days and it was running, ready to go.
Gotcha. And I see a lot of comments in here from a lot of your fellow Straight Up Racing stable mates. I saw some shout outs from Miles Parker, our past guest Juan Munoz, and another one from Tim Manchester. He says, "You are the man, Dwight." I'll pull that up here for you. So there's so many people that you work with over there in Straight Up Racing, so many different personalities. And I'd have to ask, is there a strong personality that stands out from the gang, or some funny moment where it's like whenever that person's around, it's always a good time?
Man, I don't know. Everybody's got their own different little thing that obviously we all like about each other. In my opinion, I think the most fun, like, the team has as a group, and don't take any hate on this from anyone, but I think when we're all together and Pedro is around, which you guys all know him as Gabe Montoya, but to me, he's Pedro. I don't know. It just makes everything more fun and makes you see the light of bad situations, and he's always got his head up, which is kind of the attitude you need sometimes, and that's the way he is.
So do you have any good Pedro stories you could share with us, you can share on the podcast?
Yeah, actually I do. Got a pretty funny one. We were out, it was me, John, I believe Dawson, and Pedro. We were out go-kart racing. We had some spare time, so we were out go-kart racing, and they had this, like, punching bag machine, which we were all going, taking turns on to see if we could get the high score, and I was last. Everyone had already gone, and they were gotten close, and then, like, I went and punched it, and I got the lowest score of, like, a six-year-old kid score, which was pretty sad. So then I tried it again, and same thing. And then Dawson decided that he's going to put a coin in the machine to go again, and he just smacked the sensor. Well, and then that almost set the high score, but it was a good laugh.
No, we got some other fan comments in here. Well, another one of your fans is another one of your coworkers, John Bruce. First of all, he says, "Can we get back to work?"
Yeah, John, you still have headers to build.
And then he says, tell the punching bag story, or the bunching bag story. Someone punching.
Well, that was the punching bag story.
Well, where does that go? All right, let's see here. See if we got another one from yeah, go ahead.
Juan said, "I remember the first time I met Dwight." Is there a story behind that, Dwight?
So we were in Stockton, California at the asphalt track, which was actually a pretty good weekend for me driving one of the race trucks. And it was like my fourth or fifth week, I think, driving one of the race trucks. Actually, no, the first time I had met Juan was in the middle of the night, out of nowhere. He come rolling up on me on his street bike going down the freeway, and then revved up and drove by me. And then I was following Nick in his semi, and he had taken just this random exit, so I followed him. We pulled into a gas station, and that's where I met Juan. But the first weekend, like I was saying, was in Stockton, and or that I had worked with him, and that was actually my first racing win and first rollover that I've ever had working for the team.
Gotcha. So let's now fast forward to that first time you got to drive one of the race trucks in an event. Do you remember where it was and what truck you were driving?
My first weekend driving a race truck was Redmond, Oregon, I believe. And It was a mud show. It poured down rain all weekend. It was miserable. I had no idea what to expect. And then I get tossed into a race truck, and driving a race truck in the rain, even when you're experienced, is difficult. So it was kind of a full-blown learning curve of how hard it can be.
So now, was the first truck you drove, was that Beast Mode?
Yep, that was Beast Mode.
Are you a Seattle Seahawks fan? If nobody's seen that truck, that truck's all decked out in 12th man.
Honestly, I could care less about sports.
I figured I'd ask. You know, you represent the team out there. Maybe you had some emotional.
No.
So that first show was such a mud fest, and then I'd imagine the next weekend was a lot drier, right?
I believe the next weekend we were in Arizona somewhere. I couldn't tell you exactly where. All of the shows are the same now to me, but second weekend was definitely a little better. And another good story behind the first couple weekends of driving, I didn't know how to properly use or wear my straps over my neck restraint with my helmet. So my neck restraint wasn't doing anything because I had my shoulder straps of my harnesses underneath of my Hans device. And during introductions of our shows, my helmet strap would keep getting stuck, so I couldn't take my helmet off to wave at the crowd. And Bill was getting annoyed with that, and he's like, "You don't need to wear it. I promise your helmet won't come off." And then I went out Saturday night, and hit one of the jumps, and my helmet had come off of my head. So I went straight back to the pits. I was not happy, and threw my helmet out of the truck. Kind of had a temper tantrum by myself that really no one knows about, but Bill asked me what the problem was, and I told him that my helmet had flown off. So I quit, and then it took him a couple of minutes to realize what had been going on, and I hadn't been wearing my neck restraint, so my head was in there bouncing around like a bobblehead.
So do you remember the first time you beat Bill, and what was that experience like beating the boss?
Oh, man. I honestly couldn't even tell you when the first time it was.
Favorite time beating Bill?
Really? I mean, I can remember the feeling of the first time, but I couldn't tell you, like, when or where it happened, but like I could just remember that it was like a proud moment, like, hey, I beat the boss, you know. And Bill is not anything shy of a bad driver, or a good driver, sorry. And I don't know, it's always a friendly competition, and beating him or him beating us, like, it's always smack talk, and but in a friendly way. And that's more of the enjoyable part of it rather than anything else, is that it's friendly competition.
So I would imagine that, you know, it's obviously friendly competition. I imagine it's not all about winning. It's about making sure the crowd gets what they paid for and that the trucks stay in one piece from show to show, right?
Yeah. So, and 100%, like, it isn't about the competition between us. We race each other every weekend. It's 100% about making sure that the crowd gets to see what they want. And that's also why the whole failure is not an option thing comes into play, because people came to see all of these trucks run. And at the end of the night, that's our goal, is to make sure that they do run.
So working on those trucks, I mean, I'd have to imagine there's been a lot of all-nighters sometimes with some of the breakage that happens at the events.
Really haven't had any all-nighters, but we've had some, you know, 1-2 o'clock in the morning, and then wake up at 6 and finish where we had left off. So really, it depends on what happens. for the most part, though, like our team, even the guys that come in just a weekend here or there to help, like the majority of them know the pace and like what needs to happen, and they can all see it. And Juan's really good at that. Like he can pick up pretty much right where he left off with the team, like he's been here every weekend. But we're pretty well all good enough to work with each other that if we all team up on one project, like say breaking part of the axle off, like the actual housing, breaking it off, this big project, we can do that in a few hours. It could be fixed, ready to go again.
So you talk about the pacing, and sometimes it's hard for people to kind of get in the rhythm working on the trucks, or, you know, just finding a groove when you're around a team. And I'd have to imagine when you're at a lot of these events, you get guys that only come out for that weekend and, you know, they're trying to help out or wherever. And I'd imagine it can be difficult sometimes if maybe they're expecting, you know, the glory to take pictures and put them on social media, not realizing that, hey, this is a job first.
Yeah, and so we do have people that come and go like that, and really, in my opinion, like, and I know Bill thinks this way too, they just need to get out of our way because they're slowing us down. And like, I understand, yeah, it's cool to take pictures of monster trucks, but at the end of the day, the truck's got to be done, so standing around taking pictures and all of that can happen during the show. Go buy a ticket and get out of the way.
I have a question here from Zach Cooper, and he wants to know, how do the hometown boys get some swag?
All you got to do is ask, buddy.
Never forget where you came from. And, you know, it's always all about the people you're helping out along the way. Another comment from Miles Parker says, Dwight's a great mentor to me. He's a hard worker and dedicates to the team. Always excited to work with my buddy.
Thanks, Miles. It's always fun working with you too. Always, I mean, it's always a good time working with all Tim, Miles, Juan, Pedro. I mean, everybody that comes in, it's always, they're a part of the team. They might not be there every week or every weekend, but they're still a part of the team.
Absolutely. We have another question here from Mike Menner. He wants to know, what is the most tedious thing, in your opinion, working on the trucks?
Really, that's going to depend. Tedious, like the most tedious thing to me, just because like I'm so specific about the way I do things, is wiring. But really the only time to do mass wiring projects is on rebuilds. So winter quarter, when the trucks are down, like if anything needs it, like going to spend the time and do it properly, so that way we don't have to fix little things over and over and over again. And that's really where a lot of big problems come in, is letting the little ones like that go.
Right. So, you know, we've mentioned a lot, Straight Up Racing has such a big fleet of equipment and a lot of the race trucks too. And I know you've had some competition passes in the short wheelbase truck, whether it's Willie Crash or the Cali Kid. What was that like, you know, driving that short wheelbase truck comparing to maybe some of the other standard trucks?
In my opinion, I'm going to say California Kid is probably the hardest monster truck there is out there to drive. Especially to drive it good. And really, to drive it good, you're not driving it. The truck is driving you, and you're just kind of pointing where it needs to go to continue letting the truck drive, because it does what it wants, and if you're not ready for it, then it's not going to end well. And comparing that to one of the long wheelbase trucks, it's like driving a brand new sports car compared to a 1980s square body Chevy pickup with a lift kit. just they're two totally different things.
So now is divisibility a big problem driving that short wheelbase or with, you know, whether it's Willy Crash or Cali Kitta, because I know the windshield is a little more restricted, but does that add to kind of the difficulty or is that just, you know, all cosmetic?
Really, I'll be honest with you. Most of the time you can't see really anything other than straight ahead of you because not only one, is your head stuck because you have a neck restraint so that your neck doesn't move. You can only really look with your eyes to begin with. And then being in California Kid with such a small window limits visibility too. But once you get the feel of how things go, it really is pretty easy in just feeling where the truck is going to know what's going on.
And you know when you're in Bill's team, it's very often you bounce around from truck to truck with body to body. But I would think it's safe to say that the truck that you're most known for at this point is identity theft. Do you ever get a kick out of it knowing kind of that the truck is a spoof of a very popular black and green monster truck?
Yes and no. I mean, to me, really, like. I think the identity theft thing, you know, being, as everyone calls it, a ripoff of Grave Digger is cool and it's fun. And there's things I like about it and things that I hate about it. But in the reality of it, like, it's not a ripoff. It's the identity theft monster truck. Yes, it does look like Grave Digger. That was the purpose of it, but it is still a monster truck.
So, you know, it's such a fan question, but I do have to ask, is there a body or an identity that you like running more than the others?
My two favorite trucks on the fleet, like race trucks, are Identity Theft and California Kid. Those are the two, to me. Identity Theft, I like driving that one because you can air it out big. It's easy to handle when you're during racing. Like, that thing handles, in my opinion, the best out of all of the trucks on the fleet. And then you got California Kid, just to kind of keep you on your toes and remember that, like, you still have to drive the truck. It's not always just driving a Cadillac.
Right. So now another one of the more unique trucks in your fleet is the Spitfire. And, you know, that was actually in our highlight video, the chance you got to drive that truck. It's such a wild concept. Is there any difficulties, you know, with that truck with, you know, maybe the body or the flamethrower or is it just more of the same, just a different paint of coat?
So Spitfire compared to Identity Theft, it is almost 100% the same truck. Like chassis and everything besides the body, and the visibility out of Spitfire is actually better in my opinion because the way the hood slopes, because it's the nose of a dragon, and compared to Pound Hound now, which had absolutely no visibility because you're looking out of an eye, is the world of difference. But I think the harder the truck it is to drive, the more of a challenge it is, which to me, I like the challenge, and I think that's better. So,
right. So another one of the unique pieces of equipment, you got so many of them up there in the Bill Payne fun box, is the Major Payne tank. I know we had a clip of you running that in our highlight video as well. What was that experience like strapping into the tank? What's the biggest difference from the tank to the monster truck?
Biggest difference between that is you don't have a steering wheel. That's really the only, like, actual difference between the two of them, besides the tires and the tracks. There's not a whole lot of difference between them. So Major Payne, which I drove all season of last year. The hardest thing to get used to is the fact that you're pulling a lever to make a turn, and the more air pressure that the tank has, because they're controlled by air, they're actually brake levers out of a Peterbilt, and you pull the right one, you turn right, you pull the left one, you turn left, you got your throttle, foot brake, it's the same motor that's in the race trucks, other than the fact that you literally can't see anything out of major pain because you have a blower in front of your face. That's...
Right. So, Vinny, yeah, absolutely. Vinny, you have a question about the current Rockstar?
Yes, I do, actually. About a year or so ago, Bill got a new truck, which was a brand new chassis for Rockstar. Something, you know, he wasn't really used to, being different wheelbase and, you know, different kind of style of chassis. What was that experience like the first couple weeks with that brand new Rockstar, you know, getting the shocks dialed in? You know, show after show, what was that procedure like getting Rockstar dialed in?
Honestly, working the bugs out of it. And we do that really every year with at least one, maybe two of our trucks, because we tear them down to a bare chassis and then start over. And not really start over. I mean, we use a lot of the same parts, but we're tearing it down and going through it, freshening everything up. Biggest thing with the new Rockstar was the shocks. The shocks, honestly, still today aren't 100%. We're still constantly changing them. It doesn't land the nicest. It's kind of pleasant to watch from my aspect because I know visually what a truck is landing like just watching it. And it's still something we haven't fully overcome yet. We're headed more in the right direction now, but that's still today the challenge with the new Rockstar. Other than that, that truck is tough.
I can agree with you there. I remember being up in the shop during the first quarter in 2019. I remember seeing just the frame just sitting there. And it was just such an unorthodox design, and it's almost like a mad scientist's creation. It's almost always like that whenever you're working with Bill. Do you ever just pick Bill's brain and kind of just wonder what the heck's he thinking all the time?
Not really. You never really have to. I mean, he's pretty – well, at least I don't. Like, we have a good enough friendship, really. Like I said, it's not like really working for a boss. He's more of a friend or family, especially when you're out and about with him and Lorna. But Bill is never really questionable about things, but also at the same time, you never know what is actually going through his head, because it can change in 5 minutes. The man's always thinking. He's always thinking of something new and better, and it's always kind of a guessing game, but you kind of know what's going on. It's hard to explain, really. So I kind of just go with the flow with Bill, and we do what we do.
Absolutely. I can attest to that, you know, just being around you guys for a handful of events. You never know what Bill's going to do next. And one of the new things he added to his fleet were so many different robots. You know, he got the Megasaurus in his stable. And then he got this, like, fighting robot thing. Have you had a chance to strap in that and just kind of tinker with it?
Yeah, actually. It was just after our first couple shows this first quarter when this whole coronavirus lockdown thing happened. We took the robot out of the shop and we were just messing around trying to pick up logs with it because we had a log pile out front. And that thing is so complicated that even Bill, the mastermind, can't figure it out, but that's because it's all electronic and that's above anyone's pay grade around here.
Well, it's such a learning process, and, you know, by the time we're recording this, we're doing this live, we are in the middle of a pandemic, and I know a big chunk of your guys' schedule really kicks off in April and goes till like right around now in November, and that almost all went away. What have you guys been doing with your time that you're not on the road, but you're all up in Washington?
There's always something going on around here. There's always something to do, and I mean, push a broom. That's like, there's always something going on around straight up racing that needs to be done or can be done. There's projects for Lorna. Like when it first started, Bill and I had spent a week doing yard projects, and then it turned into another yard project, which took another week. And then just one thing turns into another, and it's nonstop around here. So there's always something to do. Like, we're not on the road normally, because normally it's 38 weekends pretty much right in a row, nonstop, go, go, go for show season. But nothing is really slowed down around here because of the coronavirus pandemic.
Now we have a question here from Mike Minter from the Warhead team. You know, I'm going to add on to his question. He wants to know, what is your signature freestyle move? Now, what I want to add on to this is, since, you know, you have a mass fleet of trucks out there, say you're driving Cali Kid, you know, California Kids, good for wheelies. Does your mindset change on what you want to do when you get into, you know, like a longer wheelbase truck compared to a shorter wheelbase?
100%. I drive each truck to the aspect of what Bill needs it to be driven. So we go, try going from the least to the greatest driving skill and asset. And say, because there's shows that I've driven two trucks in one night, and that's another side of it. But if you're a first place truck, usually that's because you're not one of the better drivers. But if you're the fourth truck to go out, then, or fifth, then, you know, you're better than the last. And that's how we try doing the show, so that way it's continuously getting better throughout the night. And really, I can drive pretty much in any position that I'm put in. So if I get put out first, I drive that truck mellow, like it would be normally, and then I can go and hop in another truck and derive the wheels off of it. So I do 100% change my mindset when I drive California Kid versus Identity Theft. And in California Kid, my freestyle move would be a wheelie. And then Identity Theft, I love just airing that thing out as big as I can.
We got another comment here from Janice Gardino. She asks, what was your most exciting show?
My most exciting show would probably be Kalispell, Montana. It used to be anyways. We don't have that show anymore. It used to be one of our biggest ones. Not only for the monster trucks, but for the tough trucks. There'd be 40-plus competitors in the tough trucks, anywhere from a $100 car to somebody's daily driver out there, and people are hitting our monster truck jumps with their everyday cars over and over and over again. And that show, Bill would buy three or four cars cheap off of Craigslist, and then we would race them. So not only were we racing the monster trucks, but we're doing the tough trucks as well. And nothing about a weekend in Kalispell has been bad.
Well, it's that time every week we move on to this segment. It is Explain That Photo. You know the drill. If you've been watching us for a while now, we bring up a picture and we have our guests explain what the heck's going on in that picture. So, Vinny, why don't you get us started here?
Yeah, we're starting off with our first picture. This was sent in by Juan Munoz.
Okay, so I had actually quit working for Bill previously to this for personal reasons, and I had come back to help out for like 4 or 5 weeks because he needed someone to drive semi, and I happened to be available to do it. But that show in California was actually, I can actually say that is the best show I've ever been a part of. And that picture specifically Juan took after I pretty well tried burning identity theft to the ground. The transmission was going out from the beginning of my freestyle run, and I drove that truck as hard as I could until it literally caught on fire. And it went up in fire quick.
Oh boy. Show me another picture.
That's actually a good one. So that is in Canada. That was one of my first or second time like driving California kid during an entire show. So that's my brother on the one tire, got Marvin and Dallas, and we were watching Bill run the jet car, which was still like memorizing to all of us because of how loud and hot and big the fireball and all that was. Just hanging out as a team, you know, enjoying the moment.
We have one more picture here for you. I'm going to bring it up on the screen right now.
So that's Ezra. He used to drive Identity Theft. Really, he's probably one of the bigger jokesters that I've worked with on the team. He's always got to be doing something that is funny to somebody, but pisses other people off. Comes and goes with working, but that specific moment, we were talking about things that should be in the men's locker room. We'll go with calling it that. And Lorna had walked in on us.
Oh, man. What stays in the shop stays in the shop, right?
Yep.
Hey, so in one of those pictures there, we saw a glimpse of Marvin Anderson. And whenever you guys are up in Canada, you always seem to pick up Marvin. And for those longtime Monster Truck fans, Marvin's a name that's been around for so many years. And I'd have to ask, is there anything that you've learned from working with Marvin?
Not to take everything so seriously, like just to live in the moment with everything. Like the man's so down to earth and so respecting of everything. And it's always a good time being around Marvin. I love working with Marvin. Mostly what I've learned from Marvin has been mechanical on a semi, not a monster truck. He's always got a tip on something because he's been around it forever. Marvin used to be and own monster trucks. Originally, that's where Major Pain came from. It was Marvin Anderson. Didn't look like anything it does today, but Marvin is hands down definitely a mentor to listen to if you have the opportunity to.
Gotcha. And make sure you guys, if you're still listening with us, make sure you're sharing this video so everybody can jump in and they can catch Dwight's story, whether live or later on in the replay. And you know, Dwight, you guys' events are very much in the same states or part of, you know, the world. But there's got to be so many times where you're just up and down the road that you're not going home in between every show. What kind of grind is that you're basically living in a hall or going from town to town?
So we stay in our semis when we're traveling. Bill and Lorna are very good about having hotels for us. And usually once we do our displays in the next town, we have a hotel room. So say we show up Wednesday and our displays aren't until Tuesday or Thursday. We might have to stay in the semis that night, which isn't a big deal because they're all fully equipped with beds. To me, living on the road is not any part of an issue. Most people don't like it, but it is what it is. You got a price to pay to have fun, and you want to drive a monster truck for fun, then I guess it's got to be worth it.
So we've had a lot of answers on this question I'm going to ask you, and I'm curious to see what you have to say on this one. What advice would you have for someone wanting to get their foot in the door in the industry?
Don't. Unless you want to... I mean, it depends on who you work for, obviously. But if you don't have a good work ethic, straight-up racing is not the place to be.
You can't get much more exact than that. And I would agree with that, Dwight. We've been saying it a lot here tonight. There's so many times where I just don't think people understand what they're signing up for. They see the stuff on social media and the glory, like to watch the show, but they have no idea what it takes to produce it and to work in the trenches and just play a part in making it happen. And that's why I really like all your responses here tonight, because it's so true and raw. And I think it's exactly what a lot of people need to hear. I mean, there's a lot of people chasing the dream, but I feel like a lot of people leave disappointed, not realizing that it's not exactly what they signed up for. Go ahead. Nope, go ahead. You know, as Dwight stepped out, that's an active shop here that we're interviewing him tonight. Every answer that Dwight's given us here tonight is 100% true. And there's so many ways to be in the business and to be active, and there's so many struggles. A lot of times you hear the glory stories, and that's, you know, as Dwight mentioned, when he's there to work, but when he gets an opportunity to drive, it makes it all worth that. That's his reward for all the hard work, is that when I get to drive. You know, the whole business isn't about, you know, social media and everything that all the glamour. And that's fine to have. I'm not saying you can't have those fan moments or the stop and take a picture, but you have to know there's a time and a place, and that you're there to do a job. You're there to play a part, whether it's as a mechanic or you're on the microphone or you're producing the event. And, you know, Dwight, I was just bringing home back the part that not a lot of people realize what they sign up for when they come and go work for Monster Trucks at any level. So,
yeah, really, I mean, when people sign up to work at Straight Up Racing, or really for any Monster Truck team, but especially here, like, I've seen more people will come and go just because they had the expectation of driving a monster truck, and they weren't willing to work for it. And that's the reason I have had so many opportunities, and I've driven so many different trucks on Bill's fleet, and is because I've put in the time. I've put in every day for as long as Bill's needed, and that's what he wants from everyone that works here. But at the same time, he also doesn't want to push you to the limit of where, like, you can't take it anymore. And he does understand that, you know, like, sometimes you need a break. Not everybody can work every day, all day, like you can. And like I said, I've seen more people come and go around here just because of that than I have really of anything else.
So I'm going to ask this question for, you know, any of our other viewers watching or anyone that wants to get in the industry, kind of elaborating on the first question I asked earlier. Say someone has, you know, no experience working on the trucks, but they want to learn, they want to put in the work. What advice would you have for a person wanting to do that? And would Straight Up Racing be a good path for that person to take?
So, yes, Straight Up Racing would be a great path, as long as you are willing to work and willing to learn. You got to be willing to listen, but at the same time, like, it's hard to explain. Because from what I've seen, like, he's not a very good teacher. So if you can't visually pick up on things, it's difficult. It's going to be stressful. And you got to be able to handle it. In order to be successful here. Because not every day is just a walk in the park. You know, I get to go work on a monster truck. It's not always that easy.
Absolutely. You know, what does the future look like for Dwight Matthews? As we get another tour of the shop here.
Yes, we do indeed. Interesting internet connection down there in Washington.
Yes, it's the straight up racing internet. There's so much going on in there that the internet goes flying all over the walls. And I know, like we said, this is an active workshop. There's always a project going on, as Dwight said, over at Straight Up Racing. So even when he has an hour or so to sit down with us, there's always something moving around and always something to be worked on, even when he's live on the air here on Facebook.
He's frozen.
That's okay. Well, he'll come back. Hopefully he'll come back.
He leaves. Well, let's talk about – we've got a comment here from Juan to bring this up. Working side by side with guys like Dwight is what makes the team, and any day to come to work worth every bit. You're the man, Dwight. I always have a great time learning from you and making you laugh.
That's such the one thing we get here. It's, again, we're getting a lot of honest answers here, which I really appreciate.
Yeah.
One thing that is a great takeaway is that it's such a team at Straight Up Racing. And, you know, sometimes it can be a revolving door, and that's been stressed quite a bit. But when you're with a group of people that you enjoy working with and you understand how everybody works and can joke and just know each other, you're set up. And, you know, there's so many things that go on at Straight Up Racing and the Malicious Monster Truck Tour and all the different projects that Bill Payne has in his brain. But it's almost as if it just kind of rolls by as time goes on, and you're just working everything because you're enjoying yourself working with all the different people and just learning from each other and just enjoying yourselves. Yeah, it can be very stressful, and it's not easy work. Being in monster trucks is not easy. That can't be stressed much for anybody that wants to be involved. It's not glamour. That's the
stars and rainbows. I mean, like what Phil's saying, I mean, if you're someone listening right now that, you know, you want to get your foot in the door, you want to work on trucks, what Dwight said today or tonight is exactly what you need to hear, because it's the honest, raw truth. And I mean, if you can't get past that, you know, it's hard to go anywhere in this industry. It's a lot of hard work, and you got to be willing to work through the stress and just get the job done.
Hey, that's great. And I see another comment there from Mike Menner. But Mike's been in the comments here tonight. Podcast of raw answers, not standard fabricated answers. You know, and that's that. There's so many layers to the business, and again, there's nothing wrong with, you know, doing things maybe differently, maybe not the standard traditional way where you work from the ground up and you're working with a wrench and you're doing everything. Everybody's path is so different, and where you can excel, that's how you get your foot in the door. Everybody, you heard Dwight, he got his job off a Craigslist ad. It's not like he was at shows with a yearbook and a checkered flag getting autographs, and he added everybody on Instagram.
It's a job for Dwight. It doesn't really seem like a hobby. I mean, you got to see it that way. And we're going to come here, another from Juan. He says, you got to need to love the good and love the bad. Learn from it and love every bit of it. It's a lifestyle and a passion, not a spotlight. And quick shout out to you, Juan. You're a perfect example of that. Because, I mean, I've been around you in the pits, and man, you've been in some stressful situations, and you've always had a positive attitude. And, you know, Juan's a perfect guy, perfect example of that. Always having a positive attitude, loving the industry, whether, you know, some whether something breaks really bad and he's got to work his butt off. I mean, it's a lot of work, and like I said earlier, you got to be willing to do the work.
So I'm not sure if we're going to have Dwight back on here to wrap things up. I know the internet can be kind of shaky out there in the shop, and there's so many moving parts. So in case we don't get to formally say goodbye to Dwight, let me just wrap up everything here. As we always try to do here on the podcast, we obviously thank everybody for your support. Anybody that's listening here tonight, make sure that you like our Facebook page. If you're here watching the video, make sure you like it. Follow us for whatever we're doing here. We're posting a lot of different things. We're going to have a lot more guests planned here for the podcast. And we continue to grow our portfolio where you can catch our audio. We do this live every week on Facebook. Once a week on Facebook. We always want everybody here live, so you can interact with everybody right then and there. And it's always about the fan interaction. As
back.
We welcome Dwight back, I think. Hi, Dwight.
Yep. How's it going?
Nope, you're good. That's
you're lucky part of the game. We're part of live, live feeds.
We were just kind of putting a bow on things here. I'm sure you can listen back on the archive when we put out the audio. Mainly the same stuff we've been talking about. And, the question I asked you before your phone went south was, what's the future look like for Dwight Matthews?
This goes Well, as far as monster trucks go, my future, I'd say, I'll probably be here for a while. I don't have anything really else that I want to do, so I can see myself sticking around with Bill and Lorna for a while. But also at the same time, my future, say 10 years from now, as long as I'm not fully back into, being a mechanic, working on just everybody else's cars, I'll be happy because I turned my hobby into my job, and now I don't have the ambition to work on my own things anymore. So as long as it's not being a full-on mechanic every day, I couldn't tell you what it would look like from here on out, because tomorrow is totally different.
Oh, absolutely. It's a day at a time, and especially when you don't know what could be thrown at you. Dwight, you've done so much already in your career. Is there a favorite moment that you have that just stands out as that's the coolest thing I've done?
I'd have to say probably the most favorite moment, being with Bill and Lorna, is we were in I can't remember the town, but we were in California, and middle of the show, Bill had come up to me just with this wild idea of jumping the jet or the fireball out of the jet car. And he was like, if you're not comfortable with doing it, we don't have to, but giving you the option that if you want to jump fireball or an identity theft, and maybe some of you have seen the picture, some of you haven't, he's like, I'm going to go cut across the track this way, and when I do, that's when you'll fire up and you'll come around and hit this jump and jump the fireball. And ended up doing it, and that was actually one of the probably best, that's probably my favorite memory, I can say.
So is there anything before you're done with this industry, is there anything you want to accomplish before you're done? I mean, there's a lot you can do, but is there anything you want to do in this industry?
Since I've started, the biggest thing I've wanted was a freestyle win over Bill. And just this year, I got one finally. So now I'm content with being, it is what it is now. I got it only because he got stuck on cars, but that's bragging rights, just in the friendly way between us. And now that I have that, that's really all I wanted.
You know, Dwight, I always ask this, or I try to ask this in every episode. When it's all said and done in the business of Monster Trucks, what do you want your legacy to be?
Well, to be honest with you, your life with Monster Trucks is never done working with Bill and Lorna. Honestly, I couldn't tell you what I wanted my legacy to be around here. That's something maybe I should think about now.
Well, I don't mean to make you all teary eye or fuzzy inside. We ask the hard hitting questions here. We want the hard hitting answers back. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No.
Hey, you know, I got a message from my buddy Brian Anger. He made the graphic for you here tonight. Did you like your graphic that we made with the picture and all the different trucks you've driven?
I don't think I've seen it. I think that might have been part of my phone glitching out.
Well, it's on our feed, so make sure you check it out as my co-host is aggressively typing. Oh boy. Let's see. We're trying to wrap up here, but I got another great question here from Zach Cooper. He says, have you ever thought about designing your own personal truck with Bill or getting into the design idea portion of things?
I don't want one. I don't want a monster truck. For myself, I want nothing to do with one. Personally, I hate monster trucks. And I'm here just really... more of because it's something for me to do every day. Like I always just, it's busy and that's what I like. So the glory of being able to drive a monster truck is just kind of the reward of working for Bill in my eyes. But when I do drive for those few minutes that you actually get of fun, there's nothing else in the world that actually matters. Like it's just you and that truck and that's it. Got a thought across your mind. But other than like that being the beneficial thing to me, I won't own a monster truck. I want nothing to do with one. Like I said, I hate them personally.
And that's you know what? That's a perfect way to wrap it up here, Dwight. I tell you, that's picture perfect. No, seriously, it's truth, man. I tell you, when you messaged me or when we were talking back and forth about having you come on, you're like, I'm not going to give like the super fan S kind of questions. I was like, that's what we want, or the answers. It's like, no, that's what we want. We want the truth. And there's so many truths and so many different stories. And I think your story is a perfect example of a correct reality that not a lot of people understand.
Exactly. Not everybody actually gets the full aspect of working around straight up racing because there's more to it than just driving a monster truck. And once that reality actually hits, then quite frankly, you'll think a lot less of a monster truck yourself.
Hey, there's no two ways about it. And that's why we appreciate you coming on our podcast here tonight, giving us a different perspective and just taking the time to answer our silly questions and giving us the correct answers. So we really appreciate you, Dwight.
Not a problem, guys.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know, we've hit it home so much, Vinny. Those are the raw answers of being in this business. Everybody needs to hear this podcast that wants to be in monster trucks because this is such an angle and such a truth that a lot of people need to hear. And, you know, like I said, when I was messaging back and forth with Dwight, he was like, hey, I'm not going to, like, sugarcoat things. And it's like, that's perfect because not everything needs to be a fine gloss. Okay, you can have those moments of glory where you're standing there at the end, you're taking pictures and you're posting stuff on social media. But if you don't understand what it took to get there, then you're doomed to fail.
Definitely agree with you. I mean, this podcast, like you said, was great for anyone wanting to get into the industry. I mean, There's a lot of people out there, like you said, that need to hear the raw truth. And it's not stars and rainbows. I mean, no. Dwight's a perfect example of what the business is really like. And, you know, gives a different perspective for many people who thought, you know, there's perspective of fly-in drivers, but the reality is monster trucks are you're made to work on them. That's how I see it.
And if you do it like Dwight, look, there's many ways to success, but Dwight's is the truth, and it's a successful truth. As we continue on here with the podcast, as we were mentioning before, we're not slowing down. Say that every week. We have a lot more great guests planned and scheduled, and a lot of interesting ideas bouncing around our head. So you never know what can happen. But
yeah,
one thing's
for
sure.
I'll do a favor for you, Phil.
What's
that?
We're
on Apple Podcasts. We're on Spotify.
Yes.
We're on Google.
Yes.
We're everywhere. We're
almost everywhere. We're on new places that you Monster Truck Podcast have never been before. We are now on Audible. So if you want to hear our audio, we're on Audible. And we are on Pandora. We are the one and only Monster Truck Podcast that is on Pandora. Wherever you can hear sound, iHeartRadio and Stitcher and Breaker and all these other sites that carry the audio, wherever you listen to podcasts, you can find our show. You can hear a lot more great straight-up racing drivers like Dallas Glenn Rogers and Juan Munoz. They're all in our archives. Or you can re-listen to Dwight's episode and all of our past episodes in our archives, whether that's in our audio feed or here on our Facebook page. Just go to that video tab, check out live podcast episodes where you can find all of our past episodes in video form. We also upload those to YouTube. If you're a little more YouTube friendly, you watch it over on your smart TV, wherever you plug in your smart TV.
Sometimes I think you're reading off a script.
I'm not, but repetition is the mother of retention. It's another great podcast, and can't wait to come back here next week with another great guest for another great episode.
Next Friday, 6 o'clock Pacific time. Be there.